Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think most Americans, Lee, have had a really shocking week.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't think the roughly 52% of us that are right, center right, understood the hate and the bloodlust that the left has for us and how very mainstream that it is. There's hints of it. Again, like the Rutgers study, going back and looking at that, 25% of people who identify themselves as very liberal believe that violence can be justified, while 17% of people who identify themselves as just liberal believe that violence can sometimes be justified, for a total, by the way, of 35%. That's a scary number. By the way, it's 6% among conservatives. That number is still too high, but it's not even remotely comparable. In fact, 88% of conservatives say violence is never justified, compared to just 55% of liberals. So you see the problem there and how widespread this is. And there's, and just seeing the number of people, I mean, they are up to 60,000 people on this website we've been tracking, where people can go and report comments on X and on social media, people who are cheering the Charlie Kirk assassination and just put them on file so that, you know, employers will be able to reference them. There are over 60,000 of those now. That's terrifying. And when you see things like this, and I just want to play this again because this is so powerful. This went viral. It's been out there since the Travis Kelce Taylor Swift announcement. This is clearly, obviously, a liberal mom. She's got two girls. One is about 7 years old, and the other one looks 10 or 11. And she tells them, I've got the best news. And the reason is because she's telling them, hey, Taylor Swift got engaged to Travis Kelce. They're obviously huge Taylor Smith fans. But listen to what her daughters thought her good news was going to be. This is just the first thing off the top of their head.
I have the best news ever.
What? Donald Trump died?
Second best news.
The vice president died?
Okay, third best news.
That Elon Musk died?
Okay, no. Nobody died. My best friend's getting married.
Which one is it?
Taylor Swift! Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce got engaged!
Again, if you're wondering where the 25% of very liberal people who say violence is justified, where that comes from, that's where. If you're wondering, you know, with the other, you know, poll that we just had about campus violence, 55% of Gen Z says no, violence is never justified. But the other 45% on campus says, well, sometimes, yes, if I hear things I don't agree with, violence is justified. Where's it coming from? You just heard it. This comes from inside liberal homes, Lee.
No.
This is how they think. And we've got to begin to recognize the threat that we are under. And I want to play this from J.D. Vance, this anecdote. Because this shows, this is not a couple of, you know, maybe mentally ill black bloc Antifa types out there. And there's not really a lot of them. This is a widespread phenomenon. They would hurt us and cheer if they could. A large swath of the left-leaning public.
So when you see someone celebrating Charlie's murder, call them out. In hell, call their employer. We don't believe in political violence, but we do believe in civility.
Okay, I'm sorry, that was the wrong one. It's this one.
My wife and I decided to take our kids to Disneyland one weekend. We had fun, and to be clear, most of the guests said very nice things, or they just left us alone. But there was a loud and very cool minority that would shout at my children, who were 8, 5, and 3, whenever they got the opportunity. You should disown your dad, you little s***. One middle-aged woman yelled at my 5-year-old. Tell the Secret Service to protect the Constitution, not your father, screamed another. Are these women violent? Probably not. Are they deranged? Certainly. And while our side of the aisle certainly has its crazies, it is a statistical fact that most of the lunatics in American politics today are proud members of the far left. After Charlie died, one of his friends and one of our senior White House staffers had left-leaning operatives in his neighborhood passing out leaflets telling people what he looked like and where he lived, encouraging neighbors to harass him or, God forbid, to do worse. While he was mourning his dead friend, he and his wife had to worry about the political terrorists drawing a big target on the home he shares with his young children.
Overnight, members of the Arlington County Democrat leadership located Stephen Miller and his wife's home. They've got three little kids as well. Went out there with chalk and drew like shapes of dead bodies, you know, like the chalk they'll chalk mm-hmm. around murder bodies and like murder scenes, and put that Stephen Miller lives here. Let's go to Texas. Over 100 teachers in Texas will now have their teacher certification suspended and become ineligible to teach at Texas public schools after they endorsed Charlie Kirk's assassination or incited more violence, according to Governor Greg Abbott. 100 teachers. And those are just the ones who are open about it, not the ones you just heard that mom, whose kids think the first thing out of their mouth is Donald Trump is dead. That must be your good news. I don't think we realize on our side fully understand how bad this is and how bad it has gotten and how much they believe the propaganda of their media.
No. And there's a large part of the problem.
Yeah. There's nothing like that on our side. We don't have that's not a thing. We didn't realize it had gotten that bad. And there's no way that, and J.D. Vance is right, you cannot have unity with this. You cannot have a conversation with this. You have to defeat it. There's no other option for us. Because if they get power again and you see what direction they're going here, this is terrifying. But I want to be positive too. You should see this video up on my website. After the Turning Point USA Charlie Kirk vigil, and this is what's so crazy about this. This is University of San Antonio. There's a table where you can sign up if you want to volunteer, be part of TPUSA, that sort of thing. You should see the size of the mob around the table. It is the line around it 30 thick, waiting to sign up. It's unbelievable. What this has wrought in the positive way, and I think people are really waking up. But when you look overnight, again, we have California passing that law, trying to unmask ICE agents after Antifa has already successfully killed one this year. They killed an ICE agent in January, so it's a very real threat. Assistant AG Harmeet Dhillon has now confirmed that new California Democrat law banning face coverings for federal law enforcement. She says they're going to keep wearing the face coverings. They claim they're not covered, that it doesn't cover them. It's not constitutional.
So federal agents that are doing their job, they should be subject to the liberal progressives doxing as they want to do. But any of these teachers or Democrats that want to talk about we should have more assassinations like that of Charlie Kirk and others, those should be protected.
Right.
That's the hypocrisy you're looking at here.
Yeah, absolutely. Those should be protected. Well, they think they're fighting Nazis, Lee. They think they're in the middle of a Nazi revolution. That's why this makes sense to them. That's a level of brainwashed that they are.
And the American media has participated in that. Much of the American media has participated in that, that opinion and that attitude and that narrative.
Oh, yeah. And I think they do it with full awareness that a significant portion of their base is self-admittedly mentally ill, including just over 50% of the women and over 30% of the men say, yes, I've had a mental health diagnosis. That's what they told Gallup. Those are just the ones who admitted it on the left. So they know who they're winding up when they do this. They are pushing the buttons of people on the edge, hoping to get the violence they feel they so richly deserve. And we've got to confront this. And the first step in confronting this is sending the message to Clemson and now Coastal Carolina, where an employee apparently wants Nancy Mace gone. And not in a good way, not in a legal way. We need to send the message to we're going to have to knock down this culture on universities, because they are trying to set the norm that free speech protections include murder and exhortation to murder and incitement of murder. And we can have a real genuine debate over who should be murdered. No, that's what, you know what that led to? That led to 100 million dead in the last century. Well, Charlie Kirk's only the latest.
This is the promotion of a lynch mob mentality.
Yes, it is. And think about this for a minute. I was thinking about this. For the Democrats who did $2 billion, with a B, billion dollars, according to the insurance industry, of damage during the summer of love, that was the height of their popularity. It led to Joe Biden winning office in their minds. So they're trying to get back to there. In their minds, they're justified. We've let them do it before. They were the most popular when they were violent, and they're trying to get back there.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Antifa militant gangs have tried to kill ICE agents three times so far this year, succeeded in January in Vermont in an incident that most people probably don't even know about because the mainstream media buried it. When they hunted down the Zizian transgender Marxist gang members who were responsible for executing that Border Patrol agent in Vermont, because you don't like Border Patrol agents, they found they were linked to 6 murders. I bet you've never even heard about it. That's how the left covers up their handiwork. Well, despite the fact that we have one shot cop who was protecting a Border Patrol facility in Alvarez, they shot off fireworks to try to trick them into running outside. There's a copycat, actually, of one that was done a few years ago. And unfortunately, fortunately, the only one they hit was the police officer guarding the place. They pumped him full of bullets, but he survived, thank God. There were 8 of them, transgender Antifa gang members, led by a guy, another Antifa member by the name of Benjamin Song. That was in Alvarez, Texas. Nobody talks about this. People don't even know this stuff's going on. So you have got Antifa documentably hunting, shooting, riddling bodies with bullets, and yes, killing Border Patrol agents as California deliberately tries to unmask them so they can find them and their families at home. And then Jasmine Crockett, mouth of the South, Democrat representative, has the unmitigated gall to say this. And she's talking about Border Patrol agents.
But as somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols. Now, I never lived through the slave patrol period, but if you know the history of policing in this country, then you understand that they were born out of slave patrols.
She's lying, as usual. And her mouth is running. She's a Democrat. But okay, let's tear this apart, shall we? Because your left-wing friends just got a new talking point. That went uber viral. She's lying. One of the things that's fascinated me for a very long time, I would have assumed police departments go back 200 years. That's just my guess. No, they don't. They're a very new institution. So this idea that policing came out of slave patrols, no. Do you know when the first wave of municipal police departments began to appear in major cities, and only major cities? There's a handful of about 6 of them. It was Boston, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Baltimore. Do you know when that was? 1851 to 1857, right before the Civil War. So that's policing, but it's just in 5 major cities. That's it. New York didn't form its own city police department until 1845. So this idea that police are a feature of, you know, round up slave patrols? No, not really, no. Now, that's just for major cities, okay? So it's not till 1957 that the 5 major cities then in America even have a police department. Do you know what's amazing to me about this? Is if you look at old-timey photos from early 1800s, mid-1800s, late 1800s, in their family photos, they'll have their guns. their gun was sacred to them because it's how they lived. You couldn't call the police. There were no police. There were sheriffs to carry out the sentences of the court, you know, jail, hanging, stuff like that, and deliver warrants. But there was no policing. You're on your own. It was not until, this is Google, by the way, until the 1880s that nearly all major U.S. cities had established municipal police departments. Major U.S. cities, not U.S. cities. 1880s. Well, Civil War is over. Long over by then. This idea, so policing came from slavery. No. No, the police were slave patrol. No. 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 That's a lie, Jasmine. It wasn't until the early 1900s that smaller towns and rural areas began to get their own police departments. Early 1900s. So this idea, let's listen to her lie again. Here she goes. Oh, and unfortunately I moved that. Yeah, here we go.
But as somebody who understands history.
You don't.
When I see ICE, I see slave patrols.
No.
Now, I never lived through the slave patrol period. But if you know the history of policing in this country, then you understand that they were born out of slave patrols.
Mm-hmm. So she's tarring ICE to go ahead and get them killed. When you say a thing like this, and you know Antifa's hunting them, you know they've already killed one, they tried to kill others, you know that every night they gather outside the ICE facility in Portland, Oregon, and a federal sniper has to pick them off with rubber bullets to keep them from hurting and killing ICE agents, you know exactly what you're doing. You know what you're doing. That's what we're up against, folks. It's the endless lie. But she does get one part of this right, and I got to be fair to her. I got to be fair to her. I'll tell you what part she gets. It's the slave part, right?
But as somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols. Now, I never lived through.
Okay, yeah, they kind of are slave patrols, though. But not in the way she's saying. No, they're rescuing the slaves the Democrats brought in. Headline, UK Daily Mail from last week. Migrant children lost under the Biden administration found dead or working as sex slaves. Dear God, how many do we find? Since March, 22,638. So yes, the ICE agents are kind of slave patrols. Freeing the slaves, the Democrat Party brought in. The child slaves. UK Daily Mail, let's just read it together. After an estimated 233,000 children who crossed the U.S.-Mexico border during Joe Biden's tenure were lost, law enforcement has started to locate them, only to learn of the horrors they have faced under Democrat rule. I added that part. Since March, the Trump administration has tracked down 22,638 kids, finding some in deplorable conditions dead and others used as sex slaves. We found children who've been raped, said John Fabricatori, Health and Human Services Office of Refugee Resettlement senior advisor, told the network. We're talking about debt bondage, where children are being made to work off debt, trafficking debt. We're talking about children that were brought into situations then treated like sex slaves. At least 27 of the lost children have been confirmed dead, with causes ranging from murder, suicide, car accidents, drug overdoses. The drug overdoses is because they drug them for the sex. So to be fair to Ms. Crockett, yes, they kind of are modern slave patrols looking for the Democrat slave children and liberating them. Just wanted to note that. Somehow Jasmine doesn't want to talk about that. Nobody in America does. You got to read the UK Daily Mail to find out the horrors the Democrat Party has visited upon us. Folks.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Luigi Mangione's in court. You know, the guy who killed the head, the CEO of the healthcare company because he didn't like Obamacare. Not old enough to remember. There wasn't a single Republican vote for Obamacare. It was written by the lobbyist for the healthcare industry that would spend day after day after day at the White House writing the bill. Nobody told Luigi that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Check out the crowd around the hearing. It's leftists. Free Luigi. Jury nullification. I mean, just some of the signs we're seeing. One of them is just a bullet target. In other words, celebrating the kill. Another one saying that Luigi is a hero for fighting fascists. Folks, this guy's becoming a folk hero. And Tyler Robinson will, too, if Clemson leadership has its way. That is, this is such a dangerous moment. This is the moment where we determine what way we're going to live. We have got to make it unacceptable to call for murder. Folks, it's never been acceptable to call for murder in America or celebrate murder. And yet, listen to this. This is from this poll we've been talking about all morning. This is another one of the poll questions. Most Americans say it's unacceptable to be happy about public figures' deaths. But younger and more liberal Americans are more likely to call it acceptable. Now, look at this. What percentage of U.S. adults say it's always or usually acceptable to be happy about a public figure's death? 8%. It's 8% of U.S. adults, right? What is it among very liberal people? 24%, almost a quarter. In fact, just 56% of very liberal people say it's always or usually unacceptable. Just 56%, that's it. What is it for conservatives? Just 3% say it is, of the very conservatives, just 3% say it's always or usually acceptable. And just 4% of those who self-identify overall as conservative say it's acceptable. Okay, well, they're wrong, but it's 4%. Among very liberal people, 24% say it's acceptable to be happy about a public figure's death. Do you see the difference in mentality? Let's flip it around. Look at it in another way. What percentage of Americans, adults overall, say it's unacceptable to be happy about a public figure's death? 77%. But for very liberals, it's only 56%. For very conservatives, it's 90% say no, it's always unacceptable. This is mentality. This is how bad it's gotten. And folks, when they do stuff like what's going on at the New York Times, look, they know they are so excited about the murder of Charlie Kirk, they could barely contain themselves. But they can't say it right now. And so they're finding ways to telegraph it. You need to know this story because it shows you where the left is going. This is a headline. New York Times platforms man who called for murdering conservatives to lecture us about coexistence. So they're looking for somebody on the opinion page to give us a lecture on freedom of speech and peaceful disagreement. They could choose any number of liberals for this. They'd never choose a conservative. But who do they choose? Hassan Piker, who's called for the murder of conservatives. He also called Jews inbred pigs, what it's worth, and said the U.S. deserved 9/11. So, you know, the kind of person who fits right in the New York Times newsroom. I'm not sure it's possible to hate the New York Times any more than I already do, but whatever. That's who they chose. Yeah. Hassan Piker. Let's hear some of his work. This is him recently on a podcast advocating for brutally murdering landlords. He's a communist, by the way, but I haven't given you the punchline yet.
People that they can afford housing in Berkeley, I don't know how that works.
My understanding is that the property owners who have properties there choose just not to rent it at all.
Yeah, kill them. Kill those motherfuckers. Murder those motherfuckers in the street. Let the streets soak in their red capitalist bloods, dude.
Yeah, pretty definitive. Where he stands on that. What's the punchline? I mean, aside from the fact that this is the guy that the New York Times opinion editor selected to write a piece on the need for free speech and peaceful disagreement. You know why they did that? They're sending a message. They actually support his other messages. That's what qualifies him. He wants to wipe the ground with capitalists, people who want to be free, like Charlie Kirk. Make them bleed in the street. That's why they picked him. Among his other quotes about how the left should treat the right, you need to be shanking these mother blankers. And I'm going to kill you with my AR-15. And the one you heard, let the streets soak with their blanking red capitalist blood. But what's the punchline here? Go put his name in. Hassan Piker, H-A-S-A-N-P-I-K-E-R. Put it into X. And put it in with Zohran Mamdani. And all the pictures come up. They're good friends. Hassan Piker's campaigned for him and with him. I guess because he's a popular pundit on the murdering communist left. One time, when Tom Cotton, the senator, said something he didn't like, he responded by posting a gun pointing right at him. Folks, we just had the governor of New York knuckle under and agree to endorse Zohran Mamdani. Folks, understand what's going on here. He is a violent capital. You hang out with a person like this, this is what they have in mind long term. And he's campaigning with this guy? Folks, they are barely hiding their bloodlust. We have got to get real about this. J.D. Vance is right. You cannot negotiate with these people. You cannot. You have to fire them from Clemson. We cannot accommodate people like this because all they'll do is hire more to teach your kids. Here's J.D. Vance on that.
So when you see someone celebrating Charlie's murder, call them out. In hell, call their employer. We don't believe in political violence, but we do believe in civility. And there is no civility in the celebration of political assassination. Get involved. Get involved. Get involved. It's the best way to honor Charlie's legacy. Start a chapter of TPUSA or get involved in the one that already exists. If you're older, volunteer for your local party. Write an op-ed in your local paper. Run for office. I can't promise you this is going to be easy. I can't promise you that all of us will avoid Charlie's fate. I can't promise you that I will avoid Charlie's fate. But the best way to honor him is to shine the light of truth like a torch in the very darkest places. Go do it. We owe it to our friend to ensure that his killer is not just prosecuted but punished. And the worst punishment is not the death penalty, but the knowledge that Charlie's mission continues after he's gone. St. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians to put on the full armor of God. Let all of us put on that armor and commit ourselves to that cause for which Charlie gave his life, to rebuild a United States of America, and to do it by telling the truth.
Well, I threaten to do this every day until Clemson fired the pro-murder professors. Of course, only we're talking about murder of us, not liberals. But the news has just broken. Two more Clemson faculty members fired over social media posts about Charlie Kirk's death. Yes, good. Bringing the total to three. Folks, this is so critical for this to happen. This will save lives. People need to understand, if you say in public, I want somebody murdered, I'm excited somebody's murdered, or even worse, as one of them did, encouraging more murder, that you're going to lose your job. Why? We need to tamp this down before it spins out of control with the left. I mean, folks, I posted this morning on my X account, and it is a picture of this guy that went and violently wrecked the Charlie Kirk Memorial. And what's so scary about him, they have him in custody. He's wearing the same shirt that Tyler Robinson did. And so, I mean, the liberal copycatting and hero worship of Charlie Kirk's assassin, Tyler Robinson's already begun. And if we don't shame these people everywhere we find them, they'll turn Tyler Robinson into a folk hero, just like they have Luigi Mangione. And the bloodshed from the left will be unimaginable. So this is fantastic. And I want to add, anyone on our side that calls for bloodshed and, you know, is in a job should be fired. I want absolute no double standards there. You know why? It's got to be clear that we are the good guys. It's actually a miracle there's no whack job on our side who's come out and said, hey, we should kill them all or some stupid thing like that. I mean, it's really a testament that they haven't found that so far. And I don't want that. I want it to be crystal clear who the good guys are, because right now we are winning because we are the good guys, because we are the victims. So the good news is all three faculty members are gone. And I can't help but wonder if you didn't have something to do with that over the last 2 days, as we have bombarded the president, bombarded the provost, and just let them know peacefully and politely, because that's who we are, how we feel. Now we got to get the guy out at Coastal Carolina. You cannot specify that Nancy Mace is next and have a job. That's not a thing. That's it. No, we can't have that. So we're going to turn there next, and we're going to go after that guy. We're going to get him fired because you can't do that. And you know what else you can't do, folks? I meant to do a bigger thing on this. Pam Bondi coming out and saying they're going to prosecute hate speech? No. People have already found Charlie Kirk's post about there is no hate speech. There's only free speech. No. I'm horrified that she said it. No, we don't. Why? Because they call everything we say hate speech. You do not want to open that door.
There's free speech and then there's hate speech.
No, there isn't.
And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society.
Do you see more law enforcement going after these groups who are using hate speech and putting cuffs on people so we show them that some action is better than no action?
We will absolutely target you, go after you.
No,
if you
no,
are
no,
targeting.
No, 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 no. Again, I don't want a single one of these professors or Clemson employees stripped of their social media accounts. I want them to have free speech unrestricted. That is their constitutional right, even if they use it for jackassery. I want to know where they stand. I want to know who they are. Most especially, I want to know where they are. And I want to retweet them. No, 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 no. Look, I hope what she means is going after people who make threats, who incite violence. In other words, hey, let's go, you know, kill this person or that. Yeah, that's appropriate. But you know, if it is genuine threats under the law, sure. I hope that's what she means, because No. The second they get in office again, anything we say that they don't like, they will prosecute us for. So no, I'm horrified she even said it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.